Good morning, how are you? Do you?
I'm doing being here today. You guys all need to get up and stretch your feet.
Yes, absolutely.
How far out are you?
Kick us out again another 5 minutes.
We're upstairs. We'll see you in about 10 minutes.
Since Betty's not here, we can just skip that.
We came out.
She's part of the whole discussion.
This year, so.
We're gonna go back.
We can do 8, 9, 10.
We're out of session at this time.
You can go through 8, 9, 10, 11 if you want.
Yeah, we can do that. All right, that's good.
We're back from executive session. Thank you. I want to thank you for your patience. We've concluded our executive session where we discussed some personnel matters. And please have the record reflect that the session was limited to discussion relative to personnel matters. Again, as provided under Public Officers Law, Section 105.1. We're going to return to the agenda. We do anticipate needing to return to an executive session before the end of this meeting, however. Please be advised. Item 5, well, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to jump to
number 8.
Item 8 on our agenda, which is consideration of the Sire Stakes schedule. Members have in their packets the 2016 Sire Stakes schedule. This should be the revised December 8th, 2015 document. And Peter's worked very hard to put this schedule together. And can you just comment on what you've been able to accomplish since our last meeting?
Yep. We went to Florida with the race secretaries, meeting they have annually, and put this together. The dates and everything are in here a little bit different. The only changes we had in this year's schedule is last year we had the Night of Champions split on two different occasions. This year the 8 divisions will race on the Night of Champions all together. They tried that last year and it didn't work out too well, so we're back to putting all the Night of Champions on the same night. And we are having the consolations like we did last year. And the Excelsior program, the Excelsior 2-year-olds and the New York Sire Stakes consolations, we split up last year. This year, our intentions, they are going to go to Saratoga, and we're running all 8 at Saratoga, and instead of splitting them up between the 2 tracks. And our intentions are for the future for those 2-year-olds Excelsior and the 2-year-old New York Sire Stakes consolations is to run them all 8 together and to move them around between Saratoga, Monticello, and Batavia. This year we started at Saratoga. Next year we'll probably go to Monticello since Batavia is getting the county fair finals. And that's basically about it for the difference. One of the reasons for putting them together is to kind of, it helps the horsemen instead of splitting up and having to go to 2 different tracks with the 2-year-olds. Also, it helps, one of the concerns from the breeders is Lexington so close. Last year we had races, you know, 2 days before the Lexington sale, and a lot of the horsemen had concerns of trying to get their horses raced and trying to get the Lexington to the sale. So we've put them together to make this you know, to get done 4 or 5 days earlier than we did last year. So that'll give them more time to get to Kentucky. And also too, it's gonna be a very interesting September because on the 17th, we're running the 3-year-olds at Vernon, then the 24th, well, on the 17th, and I'm assuming Morrisville Sale, they always like running the auction, horse auction on the night, the day after those finals. Then the following week, we're going to be going to Yonkers for the Night of Champions. And I'm assuming Goshen will probably want to pick up and run like they did last year. So it's going to be very busy. So putting the 8 horses, the eight consolations together for the 2-year-olds to Saratoga, which will be the quickest we could get them back, was Thursday the 29th. So that gives them to the following Monday to get to Lexington. So it's going to be a very busy September and hopefully a very profitable September for everybody. So that's pretty much it for the scheduling.
I think the one thing that stands out to me that's a little bit different than last year, and I think this will fall on getting the news out prior to the draw. Last year, we drew the finals before all of the consolations, whereas this year, we're going to have to make sure we get a little notice out to people
yes.
so that they know. With the consolations running first, we're going to have to draw those sire stakes races.
Yep.
People have to enter ahead of time to get our lists in shape. We're going to have to get that out to the public
yep.
So that we're not fielding fly balls.
Yep. And we did that last year.
Right.
Let everybody
know. I think.
And that'll be between Yonkers and Vernon. And Vernon draws on the Wednesday for Saturday. It'll be the, you know, we need to pick the top eight horses that are going to go to the Night of Champions. Then the next eight will go to the consolations.
Yeah, I think when the sire stakes round up,
yep.
immediately following the last one,
yep.
we'll get a list out of where they yep. are on the lists and remind people that they need to have an entry date X, you know, for the consolation, actually, yep. which is significantly farther out than the sire
yep.
stakes.
Yep.
Okay.
A week in advance.
What's with you, Ron?
Yes, sir.
Can I have a motion to approve the 2016 Sire Stakes schedule?
I'll make a motion to approve the schedule.
And a second?
I second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Seems to be carried. Consideration of the 2016 Excelsior schedule. Also in the packets is this, and this should be the revised version. And comments on that?
Other than... everything is the same as last year, except for I just explained in the Excelsiors that the finals will be at Saratoga instead of being split up between two tracks. And also, too, there was a little problem last year. People didn't understand Goshen. Goshen is an Excelsior. If you're eligible to the Excelsior program, you can go to Goshen. There will be no points awarded, and that's because... if you are racing in the New York Sire Stakes, you can go to Goshen, and because there are no New York Sire Stakes there. And if you're eligible, paid for both events, they can go race together. And one of the reasons for no points for that is because we've run in the past that you can have these, you know, the way they get sorted out. Some horses would have to race against the very best in the state if they happen to show up and get in with them, so it's not fair for the rest of them to split the points up. So, but there will be also too, there will be an A and a B separation. So just like we did last year, there was a little confusion over that, but that's the same as last year. But I think everybody, you know, once they've been through it, they can figure it out. And that's where we're going with Excelsior.
Okay.
So everything's pretty much the same.
Again, thank you, Peter,
mm-hmm.
for that amount of work. Any other discussion? Can I get a motion to approve the 2016 Excelsior schedule?
I'll make a motion to approve the Excelsior schedule.
Mike, and a second.
I second it.
All right, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So moved. As far as county races schedule, we don't have that information yet, but expect that after they meet in January. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Next up is consideration of the 2016 Sire Stakes purses. Again, you have this information in your packet. Discussion?
The purses here are broke down, and this year we're able to break them all down by race as they go through the season. And it looks like... it'll be the same, the New York Sire Stakes at the purses will remain the same, distributed through the five racetracks of Vernon, Monticello, Batavia, Buffalo, and Vernon. Those purses, they will be getting $800,000 a piece as we did last year. Saratoga will still get the same amount for their New York Sire Stakes legs of $1.2 million to be divided out between their New York Sire Stakes legs, and Yonkers will race two divisions like we did last year and previous years, and they will be distributing $1.1 million per each leg we send down there. The Excelsior purses will be the same. The Excelsior A will be guaranteed $15,000, and the Excelsior B will race for $6,000 estimated. We'll add the Sire State purse starting fees in with. So basically, we're at the same level as we were last year. The same $1.8 million goes for the United Champions, so they'll go for the $225,000. The Constellations will go for the same as last year at $50,000. And the Excelsior Constellations will go for $45,000. Or Excelsior Finals, excuse me, for $45,000. So it's the same purse breakout as we did last year. So we're able to maintain our purses once again, which is nice to start to be able to maintain and not have to cut like we've had in the last few years. So we're starting to level out, and things are looking good as far as purse income. So that's basically about it for purses.
Okay. Ron, that sounds good.
Yep.
Mike? Can I get a motion to approve the 2016 Sire Stakes purse schedule?
I'll make a motion to approve the 2016 Sire Stakes purse schedule.
Mike, and again, a second?
I second it.
Without any further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion is carried. With those schedules approved, except for county fairs, which we'll review sometime after January, we now need to move on to considerations. We have three items to consider here. The first item is the conditions for the New York Sire States program, number 57. These would be the conditions for the foals of 2015. Can I have a motion to approve Sire Stakes conditions number 57?
I'd like to have just a little discussion on that. Okay. I think that in line with our out-of-competition testing, I know we didn't want to retrofit anything as we've discussed in years past on other rules, whether it be multiple trainers, multiple owners. Assuming some of the things that we're hoping to get done don't go as we hope, and not wanting to be here next year saying, I wish we had done this last year, I'm wondering if we couldn't put something in there that very generally says that by entering your horse or by making your horse eligible to New York Sire Stakes program, you agree to have all of your Sire Stakes eligible horses eligible to out of competition testing. And the reason for that is I am sure as we go down the road doing what we're hoping to do in other ways, we're going to meet with some people that aren't happy with what we're doing. And maybe there'll be some roadblocks at some point if we don't put them in our conditions and we don't want to retrofit them, we're going to lose a whole crop of horses. So if we're not successful at getting this done the way we want now without having it in the conditions, why not have the yearlings that will be yearlings of 2016 have it right in the conditions? Is that an impossible thing to do?
No, it would be. That's a standard obligation when you sign up for something like this. It just like when you carry a New York State driver's license, you consent to a lot of things, such as submitting yourself to an alcohol test when you're pulled by a police officer and other things. So putting a consent clause would not be difficult to implement.
Because
there's already something on here about carbon testing, number 12.
Yeah.
That's
it,
right?
You got the conditions and
I don't have any.
Okay. They got taken out for all in black.
Number 12 is in there.
There is for the bicarbonate testing,
so
right?
That would be a place to put it.
Yeah, if we could put it in there. And
there's only a couple things on the one I know.
I do think that, you know, it's important because, you know, the more general we can make it, we're trying to accomplish something here. And if we fail with what we're going to try to do up front, at least when these people purchase their horses in the fall of 2016, they can't come back to us and say, you pulled the rug out from underneath us and you changed the rules halfway along the way. So I know we've been afraid of doing that in the past, but this is very much within what we do. And I think, I don't know, I'm not smart enough to know what everybody's doing, but I would guess by accident, if somebody says, hey, that didn't look right to me, what I saw there at that racetrack, I think we should go to that person's barn and test their sire stake horses. Not just that horse, but if that guy's got five sire stake horses, maybe one races on Saturday and one races on Friday, one's going to race next Monday. By accident, we might learn something. And from what I've been told, even though our rules don't necessarily have teeth for the penalties, you're telling me the Gaming Commission, if somebody's caught doing something that far outside what is considered ethical, the Gaming Commission then can use that to take action.
Yeah, we pass regulation for out-of-competition testing, so the Gaming Commission has that authority to do that.
So I think that, and I'm certainly not the wordsmith or the lawyer, but if we can put something in our conditions, and I don't know if it shouldn't be 12A, because I don't want it to be confused with bicarbonate testing, which is something that we're doing at the racetracks. I think by sending in your payment to participate in the sire stakes races, and we're putting it in the yearling nominations, but really when somebody buys that horse and they make that payment in February, they're saying, come check my horses, I'm fine. And I know we've heard from people that have said, we're making things too hard or not easy enough for people to participate, and we'll scare people away. I can assure you, to much of what Alice has said, if four guys don't want to play in our pool because we make this rule, 100 people will come to here to do it and only race in New York if they know other people aren't because they're afraid of our testing. It'll only enhance our program. And I've talked to a lot of trainers. There's a lot of guys who've been doing this for a long time that feel they're getting forced out. They will embrace this. And you know what? They'll stand up and embrace this. This is a very positive thing for us to do. And it will bring people, there are people that will buy nothing but New York bred yearlings if we have this and somebody else doesn't. And that really fits with our mission statement. Okay. So I know Pete believes in it, and I very much believe in it. So
and
if we could add that in here.
In the meantime, we can ask Gaming to inspect three or 4 year olds, correct?
Yes, we could ask Mark if he could provide some language if you want to do it in this condition. We wouldn't be able to address the current conditions. This one, since it's a future condition, we can do it in this one.
Okay.
So, Mark, would you?
I just have one. If we do this for 57, can we go back? What about those would be for the 2 year olds?
Right.
In 2017, right? This is what this is for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But for 2016,
we're going to try that too.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, if we put this in 2006, I mean, then and when the next set of 2 year olds. So in other words, if we put something in and it goes in these conditions, we only have it for say the 2 year olds, but the 3 year olds it won't be in. So how does that work out? Will we be able to do the same? Will we be able to test the same? Let's put it that way, with the 2 year olds and 3 year olds.
I think if we fail on what we're going to try to do, and again, the $20,000 legal fee, right? They're going to come. Some of them are going to come. And they're not going to come at first and say, I don't want to participate because that's going to put up a red flag. But when somebody goes in their barn and they have a problem, we're going to get a retrofitted objection. If we fall down on that, and by the way, there's always a benefit to that. If somebody gets caught and they know we're looking, it may not be exactly what we want, but it's going to set up, it's going to scare some people. We're going to have a bump in the road. If we have to rely on our future conditions, there's going to be an awkward year where, yes, we can only test the two-year-olds. But we're still going to be in their barn. And we're going to try to do it for everybody now. This is only, in my mind, if we fail what we're going to try to do now, this is going to give us more strength in the future. Does that make sense a little bit?
You have authority without it being in the conditions, right, Ron?
No, we have authority. Yes,
we have authority with Gaming, but let's get it in the conditions
going forward,
as you said.
Belts and suspenders.
And in the meantime, we reserve the right to ask Gaming to inspect.
Sure. Yep.
3 and 4 year olds.
Yep.
I mean, we have that.
2 and 3 years.
Do we need to officially ask for that?
Well, our investigators are always checking if the horse is at a paramutual track. We generally do check the horses, so as part of our regular responsibility.
Okay.
You know, and it may be something where we find, you know, my utopian idea of being able to test all their sire stake horses, we may find we can test a horse if there's a problem at first. But I do believe more teeth will go into this when you can go into the barn and check their sire stakes horses as a group. We have a better shot of coming up with something.
Okay. So, Mark, thank you for joining us.
Sorry.
Yeah. You comfortable with what we need to do in the language there?
I am. I had spoken about this a little bit.
Yeah.
And we talked about different permutations on it, but I am comfortable that we can put in a consent clause that provides at a minimum notice to anyone who's providing an entrance fee that they're given fair notice as to what the conditions that they're submitting to.
Okay.
And then I guess my one last thing on the other competition testing, which I forgot. Everybody's got to be in the same place. So if somebody thinks they can race in our sire stakes and ship from Ontario or ship from New Jersey or Pennsylvania, by agreeing to this testing, whatever our vehicle is, if we have a proper chain of command, whether we reach out to Pennsylvania and someone in Pennsylvania pulls that blood, or New Jersey, or Canada, we can't just say, you live in New York, you're subjected to these rules, you ship from someplace else, you can hide, because that won't work either. They'll just hide. You know, so that, again, I think the more general we are, we're going to need help. And it's not a matter of sending somebody from the harness horse breeders to pull blood. We need true chain of command, I believe. And or chain of custody, right? Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. And you know, we can't just persecute the moms and pops in New York and let the people that are clever enough to be outside our boundaries hide. I think it's got to be universal.
You can do that?
We can. When we drew up the competition testing for paramutual wagering, this was one of the issues that we thoroughly discussed. How do we handle it? And there is a high level eager cooperation from our partners in the other states. So they're eager to participate in assisting us mentally. We've asked, well, not to this level, we haven't tried it here, but I'm sure that they will be equally eager and enthusiastic to provide the assistance that they can.
And in a perfect world, since it's a small business, if they were to follow suit in Pennsylvania and have similar language, and they need to pull blood at Vernon Downs on a horse that races in their Pennsylvania program, we would reciprocate, right?
We would.
So I think that builds on solving a problem that's a pretty big problem.
Okay. Any other thoughts, Peter?
Yes, in 57, we're adding a couple things. With the new electronic full registrations, when we go to nominate, this was brought up with some of the staking services, we've added in the conditions, because a lot of people we don't have, it says to bring in a copy of the, send in a copy of the full registration. What we've added in here, we've added in or proof of registration, because a lot of, there's no registrations now, they're all electronic, but you can go to the USTA and they can pull up a proof that the horse is registered. So we're accepting that as proof.
Okay.
And the other thing is we're adding in is an interference, which we have already an existing, it's a driver break, it's a DX into the program. Is we've had a lot of if a horse makes two breaks and they're always got to requalify, unless the horse is, if it's an interference break, or now we have, which is a driver's break, where the driver, it wasn't the horse's fault, but the driver ran up on somebody or run into some, you know, that horse, it wasn't the horse's fault, it was the driver's fault. So there is an explanation of a DX, and we're accepting that is a another way to help the horse out so he doesn't have to requalify if there's two breaks in a row.
And they'll chart that at the track for us?
They'll chart that to the track for us as a DX.
So the guy steps on the wheel.
It's in use already.
Yep, it's in use already, but you know, we just wanted, they wanted it added in, so we did that.
That's good.
And if we put this in 57, can that be, since it's already in use for overnighters, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Then it'll cover our three-year-olds too. So it wasn't like the two-year-olds who use the DX and the three-year-olds won't be able to.
It's a good explanation.
But we've added it to this, so it's in our conditions, even though it's.
Yeah, it's good to let everybody know.
Yep. Okay. So those are the only two that I know of, the two different changes, other than the language Mike wants to get put in.
Okay.
So my other question is, since we don't have the language, can we vote on these to approve them now with language added, or we have to wait till we get the language to approve these conditions? How's this going to work now?
I would say that we should vote based on our understanding and then make it, codify it at our next meeting, okay. Actually, when we actually...
Because these conditions...
Does that make sense?
Well, reflected in the minutes, yep. that you wish to add amendments, may not be what okay. you hear, but if you wish to reflect in the minutes what amendments okay. you wish, that you want to...
Because we'd like okay. to get...
So we can do it now, if we can do it now. State it properly.
Right.
All right.
Because I just want to get them approved. I just don't want to come back for another meeting in a few weeks, because we'd like to get these into the stakes guy by... January 15th, is it, Betty? You got to send them?
Usually they like them around the 1st.
Yes.
15th is coming.
You just said you're going to approve them once, and then the language would be inserted after.
So if they approve what's in part of them with noted amendments, and they clearly state the minutes what the amendments are, you need to come back.
Wave the wrong. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I do. We get the.
Okay. We're good?
Yep.
Okay. Fine, has captured the amendments. Can I get a motion to approve conditions number 57?
I'll make a motion to approve conditions number 57 along with the amendments as we've discussed to be included in the conditions.
And a second?
I second it.
Does everyone understand that motion?
Yes, I do.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And opposed? So carried. Second item is the conditions for the New York Excelsior Series. Where are we at with that, Peter?
The only thing we've added into this is the another thing is the DX for the interference. And if we're going to add whatever into the New York Cyber Stakes, we want to add into the Excelsior as well. We want to keep everything
yeah,
the same.
I think all three levels.
Yep, of all three levels.
Okay.
Don't need to chase the mice just to one hole.
That's right. Same amendments.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
So
can we get a motion for that?
I'll make a motion to accept the Excelsior Series conditions along with the parallel amendments that we discussed for the Cyber Stakes.
And a second?
I second it.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Seems to be and is carried. Final conditions are the county fair races. Which we can approve today, but we do not have the schedule until early next year. Are we okay with that?
Yes.
Same conditions?
The conditions were an additional, with a number of starts we've added in here for the finals, which is written in here. And we do have testing. I think we should do the same thing. Add the... same amendment to the county fair, so all three are the same.
The number of starts thing for the final, could you just quote that one more time, quick?
It's not in red here, and I don't have it right now exactly, the exact wording, but it'll be, we had a little problem with also eligibles this year for the county fair, so we made, I think we have to have four, let's see, minimum starts. Okay, all horses. Shows the I don't know where they stuck.
The spirit of the change, though, for the reason.
Oh, here it is. Here's, it says in the box, at least five starts to fill the race. Okay, they got to have at least five starts at the fairs, where I think that used to be four. Mm-hmm. And then the highest point earner has entered with four starts shall be selected until there are enough horses to enter to fill the first tier. Furthermore, any also eligible horse must have a minimum of four starts to be in the New York County Fair final. So before, what would happen is if we kept going down to one, they added an also eligible and the horse only raced one county fair. He went in as an also eligible and one horse scratched out, he got in and he went ahead and he won the county fair. So we had a little bit of complaint from the horse community on that. So we've clarified that, added that in, but if they needed to go down to fill the first eight horses, or nine if it's at a 5/8 or larger track, then they can use the horse with one start, or even you can use them with no starts. I mean, in the Sire Stakes, as long as they paid into it. But hopefully we won't get down that far.
And I do think it really is absolute grassroots product, our fair participation. And there is a lot of getting up in the morning and hustling to have to get out to do that. So you could see where somebody might get their feelings hurt for somebody who maybe didn't make the same grand effort, showed up and got the big prize at the end. So I think that does make a little sense.
Okay. Any other changes?
That's it.
That's it. Can we get a motion to accept that?
Make a motion to accept the conditions for the county fair races, also including the parallel language of the amendments that we had for the Sire Stakes and the Excelsior.
Okay. And a second?
I second it.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Item is carried. All right, consideration of county fair races and the addition of Saratoga County Fair races. We've received a letter from the Saratoga Harness Horsepersons Association requesting a county fair race date set for August 2016. Under Section 335 of the Racing Paramutual Wagering and Breeding Law, the fund is authorized and directed in each year in cooperation with each county ag society, qualified therefore under rules and regulations established by the fund to provide for the running of New York bred harness horse racing events. And as a result, we would need a letter from the Saratoga County Fair providing their support, since these races would be conducted in cooperation with the county agricultural society. The fiscal impact here would be $26,000. But we suspect one or two other counties currently part of the series may not offer harness racing next year. So likely the fiscal impact would be minimal. Is that correct, Brian?
I agree with that, yes.
If Saratoga County does offer such racing, it will be conducted at the harness track. Subsequently, the fund would only be obligated to fund the purse allotment and administration cost for a total of $26,000. If the members are inclined, I would like to consider a motion that we add Saratoga County, contingent upon a letter from the county fair organization, as a participant of the county fair racing series. Your thoughts?
Well, it's, for one, of course, I'm assuming it's non-paramutual. It's not going to interfere with the racing dates that currently exist at Saratoga, so we're not displacing any kind of event there, correct?
That's my understanding. That's my understanding.
And we've talked about this at different times, like when they did at Batavia. Is there going to be some sort of a push from the people involved to kind of create a fair-like environment at the racetrack? Is that in there? Or are we just going to run the races like we're running qualifiers for $26,000 at Saratoga Raceway?
I think we got the letter from Tom McTighe from the Saratoga Horseman Society. That's why we're suggesting that they make sure that the County Fair Association and the horsemen are talking to include the track to make sure it is more of a fair atmosphere.
Because I do think that to get one of the benefits we get out of these county fairs is people get to see harness racing. And we say it all the time. It's our own greatest secret that we keep amongst ourselves. But to spend the $26,000 solely to go take out the donuts, it's a beautiful facility there. And I would just like to see them make some sort of an effort to get people in there. Maybe not your regular gambling people that go to Saratoga Raceway on any given night. May not get any people in there, but I know at other tracks when they've tried to make that effort, they have gotten people in there, especially young people. And, so I like to think that they're, for our $26,000, we're going to get a little bit of that kind of.
Well, you do have the letter in the packet, and the intention does seem to be that and seem to be clear.
Then I'd be more than good with it.
Okay.
I agree.
Can I get a motion to approve adding Saratoga County to the fair series?
I'll make a motion to approve the Saratoga County Fair Series.
Okay. And a second? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Seems to be carried. Thank you. And now we're everyone's favorite subject of the day, consideration of out-of-competition testing, the New York Drug Testing and Research Program. At our last meeting, we discussed this at some length for 2015 and 2016, and we all felt the need for additional drug testing for the Sire Stakes program. We currently have a contract with the New York Drug Testing and Research Program to conduct testing for the non-paramutual racing, specifically the county fairs, which is our next item on the agenda. However, Peter, you had advocated for additional testing. Staff discussed the process with representatives of the New York Drug Testing and Research Program, which it was noted could conduct specific testing on additional samples collected beyond what the Gaming Commission collects. Additionally, in October of this year, the fund members together discussed such testing and approved an allocation of $100,000, which was included in our 2015 budget for research and out-of-competition testing. It was noted that a testing program was discussed and proposed by Dr. George Malin, director of the New York Drug Testing and Research Program at Morrisville State College, and the members at our last meeting included the possibility of an additional $100,000 for 2016. We have Dr. Malin here today to discuss the drug testing program at Morrisville, and I would turn it over to you at this time.
Since you have a busy schedule, I have a PowerPoint.
Okay.
Which is, we can get that right back.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody masters of PowerPoints?
If you need it.
I'm not a master, but.
Yeah. just have to go near it.
That's okay. I knew what the.
That's pretty powerful.
It's looking force, through everything.
The force.
That's right. Thank you.
Anything else?
Just click on the little icon on the left, the red
there's
icon.
The red thing.
Yeah,
there,
right
there we go.
Double click on that.
Yay. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, there's who we are. That's what we're going to talk about. And I'll cut to the quick and hurry.
I want to go to slide view up there, up on the top.
Okay. View, there we go.
Click on slide. Go over.
Slide show.
Slide view.
Go over.
It's okay, this is where I want to be.
Should we get the link? Okay.
Thank you.
Recently, well, first of all, drug testing has become very complicated.
There we go.
More drugs are reaching the market than you can shake a stick at, and old drugs become new drugs again. And in the thoroughbred side, the RMTC, Racing Medication Testing Consortium, decided that they were going to improve drug testing. And what they went about doing was selecting old drugs and making them more stringent. They have totally ignored the drugs du jour. Not only did they belabor old drugs, but they made it almost impossible to avoid the innocent person getting caught. And the reason being the threshold or the concentrations that they've selected and the suggested withdrawal times are too close together. New York has not a 48-hour rule for a lot of drugs. They have a 72-hour or a 96-hour rule. So New York has not, certainly in Harness, has not followed the RMTC's recommendation.
Click on the next number four.
Just go to the left, Doc.
Go to the left and hit your next slide. Number four.
Down.
Go down.
Straight down from
column.
There.
Okay, there we go.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay, a lot of the data that was generated by the RMTC, millions were spent. And in New York, they tried to, and they did, in the Harness, on the standard side, push the rules through. On the surface, it sounded like it was really good, that they're going to do administration trials on 20 horses, they're going to do standardbreds and thoroughbreds. And I can tell you that almost no studies of that. Now 30 pound pounds use 20 horses and very few standard breeds, strictly thoroughbreds. They went further to talk about a statistical analysis called 95-95. And they said that using this statistic, there'd be no chance of somebody getting an inadvertent positive. Well, not true. 95-95 is not four standard deviations, it's two. So out of 100 cases, you expect to see 5% problems. Rather than doing the drugs du jour, as I'll call it, they've labored millions on drugs that we could test for 20 years ago. For example, you might say tetrahydrazoline. That's Visine. Visine turns out to be a class of drugs that's very potent for modifying performance. In fact, it's a date rape drug. It's not just for eyes, it's a date rape drug. There they are. We've had positives for all these in racing. This particular guy was Afrin. It was 4 or 5 years ago, maybe longer. We had 30 positives, and of those 30 positives, 28 were winners. To show you what these drugs can really do. What we're really concerned about, not a competition testing, is performance enhancing drugs. Drugs that improve athletic performance, usually they're from human athletic trial and error. They can be expensive, and there are few or no horses, studies in horses. We talk about red blood cell production, EPO. It's nothing new. This paper was published in 1952. It is talking about erythropoiesis, red blood cell production. This has been with us for over half a century. This particular gentleman is talking about red blood cell production, and he's from Amgen. That's the company that originated EPO, if you will. And way back then, this is 20 years ago, they're talking about human athletes getting the edge by using this new product that was just hitting the market. This is interesting data from my colleague, Dr. Ken McKeever at Rutgers. He's an exercise physiologist, probably the best in the world. And what they did was, this particular case was give EPO to horses and monitor the hematocrit. And they monitored the red blood cell count. And this now is 10-year-old data. You don't give one shot of EPO and have a monstrous effect. You have to do it over time. And over time, you'll finally take off, and you'll have a high blood cell production or a high hematocrit. So it's not just a shot in the dark. EPO, to be effective, has to be given a number of times, and it is expensive. We developed tests for this. Okay, you might say, well, you already got tests. I was a member of this research team. We developed a test for EPO. And I can tell you right now, that was developed 10 years ago, and it is inadequate. At the time, the best we could do, it has to be made better. You might say, well, we'll do what they do in the Olympics. Well, this particular gentleman started WADA. This particular gentleman was a guy that caught Barry Bonds, if you will. And this particular guy couldn't catch Lance Armstrong. We have had a few positives in horse racing, but you have to come in close. You have to get them within probably 48 hours to really be able to screen for it and to confirm it. It takes about 1 week of a good technician's time to confirm an EPO screened by ELISA. You might say, well, we got things under control. Well, here's a fellow by the name of Workford. He did a review, and he reports there are 80 biosimilars. That means 80 EPO-like compounds out there. And I can tell you, nobody can test for, and as we know, drug testing. You start chipping away at the block to get this job done. Let's get to cobalt. Cobalt's been around a long time. It's every place. Cobalt is every place. This will shock you. There's a jug cobalt user was confiscated, the various components. And I say it's all over the place. Believe it or not, these stainless steel bits have cobalt on them. Not a lot, but some. You've seen this site a thousand times, I'm sure. What do we know about cobalt? Well, based on science, we don't know much about cobalt performance. Based on opinion, everybody knows what's going on. We have a problem as a scientist. Opinions don't count. If you don't have factual data, it's blowing smoke, pure and simple. There are two key publications that underscore this. First one is, I think, one of the best reviews out there. It's a guy by the name of Finley, who is intimately involved with cobalt and knee place replacements and that kind of thing. But he surveyed a large population. And I forget how many publications, probably several hundred. Any place he could get a control and a number, he included it. And he concluded that in mice, rats, man, you name it, except horses, concentrations below 300 parts per billion, that turns out to be, are not associated with an effect. 300. We have the RMTC, for example, ARCI, they want to go with 25 parts per billion, maybe 50. In New York, I recommended 70. I think we'll probably wind up with a 50. But we really don't know what's going on with the horse. Or in man, as a matter of fact. And human athletes, they do not test for cobalt. I'll get to that in a minute. In horses, there was some work done where in Davis, California, and they said, they demonstrated that EPO has no effect on cobalt concentration, red blood cell parameters, heart rate, or anything that they measure. I can tell you the reason they didn't get an answer is because the study was flawed. They were so hurried to publish to get their names in press to justify what some people are talking about cobalt. They just did a PP4 study. In order to do this kind of work, you have to have a dose response. You have to give a dose X, see response Y. You just can't be arbitrary and capricious and take a fixed dose as they did. They made another classic mistake that they did the administration, and then 4 days later, 7 days later, 10 days later, they didn't see any response to red blood cell production. And I know why. Let's jump ahead here. This guy, Yelkman, he's one of the people who says cobalt is should be tested. It's a performance enhancer. And he doesn't have any data to support that. This particular fellow, Lippi, an Italian, he says it's a big thing in human doping. But look at this, hypothesis. He has no data. In man, they know that cobalt will stimulate red blood cell production. But they don't know that red blood cell production translates into performance enhancing effect. Here's the reason why the California data is flawed. Here, we gave a dose of 50 milligrams of cobalt, IV, on three successive doses. That's not a large dose of cobalt, by the way. And we can see cobalt will rise and fall, and this line here is red blood cell production. And it starts off, it goes up right away. And the red blood cell increases through about hour 8 after administration, and then decreases. So in the California study, they missed, okay? Now exactly the impact that this red blood cell production is having on performance enhancing, I'm not sure, but what it appears to be is dumping the spleen. As you know, the horse has got a big spleen, crack him on the butt with a whip, up goes the hematocrit. If he's needle shy, up goes his hematocrit. The same thing is going on with cobalt on the spleen. And we're still in the throes of trying to figure this one out. But as you can see, it's not straightforward. We have a limited number of administration trials, and we need to do a whole lot more. This is the machine that we use to test for cobalt. It's a $350,000 machine. It costs, uses argon. It goes through $1,000 of argon in over 2 weeks. And we don't have that kind of money to do every sample. If we get funding from you all, this machine will be going full tilt. That will allow us to start to put some reason into this mayhem that's out there about cobalt. This is an administration of 200 milligrams of IV. Here, you can see cobalt comes off, winding down. It takes way out 1,200 hours before it gets back to normal. So if you gave cobalt, one gave cobalt at, say, 2 weeks, you're going to ring the bell. So this is something that has to be taken into consideration in setting thresholds. If you listen to WADA, USADA, anybody, Jeff Gorrell, they will say Hong Kong is the lab of choice. Okay? And it is a good lab. But I point out they have 55 employees and 38 state-of-the-art mass spectrometers. 38. I have 6 or 7. He has more mass spectrometers than every testing lab in the United States, but together, for God's sakes. Does he do a better job? He sure should. Despite the fact he's got the best lab in the world, here's a drug that we found, little old Morrisville, old dummy male, found this drug called AH7921. It is a very, very, very potent fentanyl sublimase type drug. And here's the structure of it. We found it, okay? And I point out, Hong Kong didn't. It's in their backyard. That's where the stuff is made. You figure that out for yourself. The drug that we really should be worrying about today is bisphosphonates. Phosphos, these are drugs that have been used, pioneered in human medicine, osteoporosis, if you will. But now they're using it probably to help out the liver disease. What they're now finding out, it also will cause a potent analgesic effect. And I had a call from the thoroughbred side 2 days ago that this stuff is out of control. So there's a class of drugs that we have to take a look at. So it's more complicated than just putting a nickel in the meter and getting an answer. There's one slide I missed right here. That was the first slide, which I went over, but in order to do this work right, you have to administer a drug experimentally. Can the response be detected? Can the response be measured accurately? And can the concentration of the drug be related to this response? It takes a hell of a lot of money to do it. And that's what you're confronted with. We'd love to work with the industry. I've been doing this since 1971. We've had great successes, we've had great failures, but right now, your program does not have any drug testing. We're not doing any drug testing for you. So it can only be better than what you're doing now. Thank you.
Thank you. That was very helpful. Appreciate you making the efforts and appreciate what you do over there. And I think we'd like to make a down payment on getting this squared away here.
Well, it'll take some time, but if you don't start now, 10 years from now, you'd be saying the same damn story.
So, thank you very much.
Can we ask a couple questions?
Sure.
Any questions?
Yes, sir. Of course, when we say we're not testing for anything at this time, we are doing our regular parimutuel at the racetrack testing, right?
Yes, parimutuel, yes.
And similarly, is it foolish for us, assuming we had the opportunity to not do this with a shotgun approach and say that we're going to spend the money to test for so many things on so many horses that you're going to be so busy chasing yourself in circles, we have no shot to get anything done, I'm sure, for the amount of money we're looking to spend. But if we were looking to take a more surgical approach and take the money we're looking to use and say, along with the information you're gathering when these horses race at the racetrack, so you're getting a sample on horse X the night they race, if we're able to say, look, this trainer just raced five horses at this racetrack, and it wasn't that one of them raced in a way we couldn't expect to happen, but three of the five did something that's unexplainable to us. And we make a decision, I don't know if we're gonna have the power to do this or not, we make a decision and we collectively say, without thinking we're picking on anybody, somebody should go to that guy's barn on Tuesday and check all their sire stake horses. Are we going to be able to possibly see something from five samples taken from horses and compare it to their race day blood and be able to see something? If not knowing exactly what we're getting, we should see something different in what their red blood cells look like or their protein level. If what we're looking for is present without knowing what we're looking at, we should see something different if it's there. Is that correct?
In theory, okay. But it's problems. First of all, most of the technology has been in the past. It's target analysis. We're looking for opiates, we're looking for tranquilizers, we're looking for that. We're not looking for AH7921. That particular horse, by the way, was a full-time trainer at Naira, paid big money, and that horse had bad PPs before. Okay? So we know these drugs do work. The reason we're able to find it is because we have a new type of instrumentation. What it does is not just look for specific drugs, but it looks at a wide range of compounds. And that's how we found that one. I knew about this drug because I read the literature very actively. And a couple of years ago, a runner, I believe it was, in Japan, probably a cyclist, had this drug positive, and I said, hey, how long is it going to take to get here? We put it into our system, and on a broad screen, we were able to find it. That particular drug, I finally found a source I could put into a horse. 50 milligrams cost me $650. Okay? One horse, $650. So if you want to do 20 horses, it starts to add up to be a lot of money. Anyway, I digress. To solve the drug testing problem and the problems that you're talking about here today, it's called boots on the ground. The better your investigatory staff is, the better they can pinpoint your concept, okay? The lab gets a number. We don't know who it was, Joe Blow or you or somebody else, okay? So how you select the horses, that's your up to you. We don't want to know who it is.
So what you're saying is, the best way we can help you is, one, getting some money to you, which we're trying to do, but two, helping you not waste the money by trying to pinpoint what we believe are the most likely places to go fishing.
Yes, certainly. That's, you know, we need to know this horse's performance fell off, this horse's performance improved, that kind of thing. Is your bailiwick to select these horses. Okay?
Because, you know, on any given day, you can take a horse from a a great trainer and give it to a guy who just never takes him out of the stall, and for whatever reason, that horse might like not coming out of the stall, and he might get better. But when you take horses regularly from very competent trainers, and every horse seems to like this new program, that tends to set off whistles and bells, I think, to most everybody. And I think, you know, we're kind of feeling that that's how we'd like to do it. And it's something that could work with you if we say, you know, if we're looking to get you samples from the most likely places. Is that fair?
Yeah. Right now, we have two new instruments that we're using. We still do a lot of immunoassay, by the way, which is the ultimate. And it's a dummy, okay? It's a red light in the night, it finds it, okay? But you have to have specific drugs. This new stuff we have about 2,000 compounds, okay? But this particular drug, H7921, really wasn't on our list all along, okay? So it's complicated. Anything you can do to help a laboratory narrow the scope, the better their chances are.
With EPO, and I've seen EPO on the racetrack since 1993, and we all know that there isn't a conclusive test, everyone knows. Non-FDA approved for animal use. And my girlfriend just happens to work for Amgen. When you have a copy of all the list of the vets by an EPO, why is it, or maybe I could ask you that question, why is it is that there's so much opposition from all the states not doing the right thing if it's not approved, non-FDA approved, for animal use? Why is this not a big problem with the FDA, the United States government, and our food chain, as we export all our resources to the Canadian government and they're consumed?
I can answer part of that. I am a veterinarian. I don't work on the tracks. But veterinarians can use drugs off-label. That is a thing that, you know, so the FDA doesn't necessarily get involved with that. And we can do that because the things that are available to us to treat animals, and the intent is that we will treat them for disease, not for performance enhancing. So we can do that because not everything is labeled for animals. So we get this sort of special off-label privilege with a lot of drugs. And how is it not part of the food chain? Well, that depends on the drug and the use, because a lot of it is intended to be used more for companion animals, dogs, cats. EPO is kind of a weird one, and I'm not as familiar with some of that kind of stuff and what would happen if they were caught, as far as the FDA is concerned. But we do have a lot for antibiotics, especially, and some other compounds, especially if you're into breeding. Some of the drugs that we use to control cycling, some of those are off-label uses as well. So it's intended more to be used for antibiotics, for the most part. But we do, it's on the veterinarian to decide whether or not this is an appropriate use of the drug. So that kind of falls back onto the individual. But that's why there's no FDA oversight for a lot of this stuff, is because we kind of have this gray area.
Yeah. Well, we could spend the rest of the day, I think, on this subject probably.
I just comment. You are right. A lot of stuff is imported. And the other thing, the federal government can't keep boatloads of cocaine from coming into the country. So if you want to solve your problem, it's your problem. Okay, you solve it.
All right.
You're not going to get the federal government to do much.
Well, we're going to get started. Let me get back to our agenda here.
Yes.
But thank you for an excellent presentation. That was very educational.
Yeah. Hope I don't see you across the table.
You may want to just hang out for 1 second here, Doctor. Since we approved a motion at our last meeting to provide $100,000 from 2015 for this research and the availability of an additional $100,000 in 2016, we now have to approve the contract between the fund and the drug lab. We've already passed the sole source resolution for such services at our July meeting and already part of the record, so we just need to approve this contract with the lab. I should also restate our authority to provide such funding as noted in Section 330.1 of the Racing Law. The fund shall have perpetual existence and shall exercise all powers authorized by this chapter and reasonable necessary for accomplishing its purposes. Section 334.4 further provides that the fund shall have the power to prescribe rules and regulations to determine the eligibility of entries in New York bred harness horse races and to effectuate the purposes and requirements set forth in this section. As a result, I believe there is sufficient statutory authority for the fund to undertake this particular activity. So I would ask now for a motion to do that.
I make a motion that we, the fund, have the authority to do out a competition testing as proposed.
Well, you're approving the contract.
Oh, the contract.
This is the contract.
The contract for.
Right. I'm sorry.
That's for the other competition test.
For the contract with the New York drug testing.
Right.
Right. Yes.
Correct.
Ed Research.
I approve the contract.
Peter's made the motion.
I'll second the motion.
Mike seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
On. So carried. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, folks. Best of luck.
Thanks.
Commissioner, can we take number 14 off, do it at the next meeting? We're okay. Still looking at some of the numbers regarding the cost from this year and last year.
All right.
I'll bring that one back. Since the county fairs are in July, we have a little time.
Okay. Okay. Item 15, field inspectors and staff authorization. Back in July, we discussed the need for a field inspector investigator, and we specifically noted that the fund's counterpart on the thoroughbred side, the New York State Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, employs inspectors. Also noted at our last meeting, an individual was hired, but that was only for the calendar year of 2015. I'd like to discuss with the members continuing this program and allowing staff to continue to hire per diem inspectors as needed. Given that the investigators of the Gaming Commission are not readily available, it would be prudent for us to have our own investigators and avoid any conflicts that may be perceived or created by letting a third party handle this particular function. The position would be on a per diem basis, specifically focusing on out-of-competition testing and investigating and ensuring compliance with our conditions and rules when necessary. Staff has indicated that there are sufficient funds to support this item. Correct, Brian?
There are.
We're in good shape financially to do that.
We are, definitely. Yep.
We're talking about a motion that would allow staff to utilize up to $50,000 during the calendar year 2016 to hire, when necessary, investigators on a per diem basis to provide the work that we just discussed. Thoughts?
It says up to 50,000, right? That's where we're at?
Yes.
I think we're going to need it if we're going to do the other things we need to do.
Agreed. We're trying to put some teeth here.
I agree.
Can I get a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the field inspectors on a per diem basis up to $50,000.
And a second?
I second it.
Second by Peter. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Seems to be carried. Thank you. Thank you very much. And now, continuing on with our show, we've got a number of grants for consideration today. I would suggest, as we did last time, that we review all the grants and then determine how much funding should be allotted to each proposal accepted. Currently, we have $131,800 in the 2016 fund budget for grants. We have received 8 requests, which include the following: the Harness Racing Museum and Hall of Fame, Goshen Historic Track, the New York State 4-H, Racing Under Saddle, New York State Association of Ag Fairs, Harness Horse Youth Foundation, the Onondaga Oswego Harness Horsemen's Association, and Sunshine Horses. So let's go in that order. We'll start out with Harness Racing Museum and Hall of Fame. And our first proposal is from the Harness Racing Museum, and that is Janet Terhune. Thank you.
Yes.
You have submitted a request to the fund for a $50,000 grant for 2016. The fund has been active with the museum in supporting the efforts to continue the work that the museum has come to be associated with. Great tour, by the way, in our last meeting. During 2015, the fund provided a grant to the museum of $40,000 and $50,000 in October of 2014 for the calendar year, that same year. And now the museum is requesting $50,000 for this calendar year to continue those programs. We had the opportunity to visit the museum in Goshen this year. It's apparent that the museum's education department plays a significant role in educating, entertaining, and promoting harness racing, the standard bred horse, and agriculture in New York State. I would note that under Section 332.1 of the Racing Paramutual Wagering and Breeding Law, the fund is authorized to distribute monies received.